Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, Coach Conversations, sponsored by the Phoenix, Arizona chapter of the International Coach Federation. ICF has over 20,000 members in 108 countries, and I'm your host today of our radio show. My name is Catherine Halpin, and I'm calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. Our guest today, I'm very proud to present, Ana Maliacan, from calling in from Portugal today. Ana is a PhD and a longtime coach and expert in both personal development in the group settings and working one-on-one. She's originally from Portugal, where she's vacationing and working this summer. Prior to moving to Phoenix, she lived in England and Spain. She has a doctoral degree in psychology from the University of Sunderland in the UK, and two, not one, but two master's degrees, one in psychotherapy from a university in Spain, and the other in the Ericksonian psychotherapy and hypnosis from the Institute Erickson in Madrid, Spain. She's also a member of the International Coach Federation and a key player here in Phoenix, in our Phoenix chapter. Ana regularly goes to Europe, where she teaches and facilitates workshops, and she's co-authored several published articles and book chapters. So, Ana, thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm very glad to be here, and I'm so glad the technology is by our side and things are working great.
Yes. And before we get started with your interview, Ana, I just wanted to acknowledge you and show my personal appreciation. We've been doing this now for about 4 months, sponsored by the Phoenix, Arizona chapter of the ICF, our Blog Talk Radio show, and we would not be where we are today without all of your effort, Ana. For our listeners, I just want them to know that Anna's the one that pulled together all of the technology, not just with blogtalkradio.com, but also in the social media arena through Facebook and Twitter. She's helped us get the word out and get our listener attendance up, and has been a huge part of our success with our radio show. So before we get started interviewing you, I just wanted to acknowledge you and to share how much I appreciate all your efforts, Ana.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your words.
Oh, of course, of course. I appreciate you. And before we get started with the interview, I wanted to let our listeners know about your phenomenal website, because you have so many great resources there. So as they listen on the internet, they might want to also surf. It's www.amazecoaching.com, amaze, the word amaze, A-M-A-Z-E, coaching, all spelled out, .com. It's a fabulous website, beautiful graphics, and extraordinary resources that you provide complimentary to people that go onto your website. So thanks, Ana, for that and for all your generosity to the world with your great resources. So, tell us about growing up in Portugal.
Like you said in the beginning, I'm originally from Portugal. My Portuguese maiden name is Almeida, for if there is somebody from Portugal listening in. And I live here most of my life until college day. So, in a small village near Coimbra, that is university town. And then I went to study in this university town, psychology, and just a regular person here, I always had the dream of about traveling. Mm-hmm. That was something that I always was there. And in college, I had this wonderful opportunity. Here in Europe, we have a program called the Erasmus program that allows us to do 1 year of university studies in another country. And I managed to get the grant to go to England. So I went to do 1 year of college in England, and that was a great experience. And I started to travel ever since.
Oh, how wonderful, how wonderful. Well, tell us about your background, how you ended up going into psychotherapy, and how you, what led you to coaching from there. I want to hear all about that because you're so well educated. For someone like me who became a coach with just one college degree, my degree is in accounting, I'm always thrilled to meet people like you who are so well educated. So tell us about that whole college career and early career as a professional.
Things really start, and interesting the question because it makes me think that even before I entered to college, my first degree is psychology, and I was in between at the time choosing psychology and a technological course of software and computers. So the computer world was always very important, I'm very curious about. But I'm even more curious about people. So I decide by psychology, and I did in Coimbra my university bachelor's in psychology. And then, like I said before, I went to England. I was there 1 year. I decided to stay 1 year more there to finish the degree there. And then I was like, well, okay, what to do now? And there was this wonderful master program that I heard about in Spain, in Salamanca, of psychotherapy, because I was really wanting to be a clinical psychologist. So I decided to apply to this master program in Salamanca, just by, okay, I don't see anything in applying for it. And
right.
I guess I was accepted there, and I was, oops, now I have to go to Spain and learn Spanish.
Oh, that's right. I always think of Portugal and Spain both speaking Spanish, but Portuguese is the language of Portugal, so you had to learn Spanish. Bless your heart.
Yeah. It's the same roots. It's a Romance language. So we have a similar route, but we have 800 years of history that differentiates one language from the other.
Right.
So, but really was, how to say, I went there 3 months previous to the degree start, and I really immersed in the language and in the culture, and I was up to the pace when the course starts, so that was great.
Yeah.
So, and that was a great experience. But again, my background is psychology and psychotherapy. That is my background. And I was in love with the clinical work in seeing how we help people that are in very tricky situations to really start to have a life. And I have to tell that I had great teachers. My teachers, my mentors, were really my inspiration, mainly two of them. One, there are loads, but two that really were, I work more closely and I can consider them my mentors. The one in England was Peter Hawkins, and one in Salamanca, Pepe Navarro, that I was very lucky to have the privilege to work so many years with them, because it was during these courses and afterwards I kept contact and supervision with them, and that was a golden opportunity of learning.
So
I was in the I did my master in Spain, in Salamanca, and then I stayed there working for a couple of years in the master program. They invite me to teach there, so I stay there. And meanwhile, I start to do my PhD as a distance student from England. So I was doing the clinical work in Spain, but going to England frequently to do part of the courses and all the other components of the PhD. So it was an interesting time. And in the middle of that, I received a job offer to work in Portugal, in a private university in Portugal.
Oh, how exciting.
I said, yes.
Right.
I said, yes, I love it, because I love the teaching too. So I went to the north of Portugal near Oporto, and I teach there from 2000 to 2003, and I start to have my clinical clients. I was teaching, and at the same time, two afternoons, I have my private practice. And I was really enjoying everything of my career, and my career was blossoming.
Mm-hmm.
And in that story, I was also traveling to conferences and congresses to present the papers and workshops. And in one of these trips was to the United States. It was in 2001. And this trip to Phoenix, Arizona, the conference was sponsored by the Milton Erickson Foundation in Phoenix, held in the Hyatt Hotel downtown Phoenix. And I was staying in this lovely hotel, the San Carlos, that is just next door to the Hyatt there. And I met my I met a person there that now is my husband.
So tell us about that. Was he at the conference too?
No. He was in the hotel, the San Carlos, and he saw me. And he say hello to me, and he was a very short conversation. And in the next day, he spoke with the person that he saw me speaking with. That was my teacher and the supervisor at the time, Dr. Peter Hawkins. And they changed emails, and he forwarded the email to Peter and asked him to forward the email to me.
I love this story.
So I received this email from an that was very funny because my teacher, very proper Englishman, asked me, okay, I received this email of a person in the hotel where we stay in the United States at the conference. He's very interested in you. Do you want to me to forward his email? And I told him, I don't have admirers every day, please. I want to approve of it, so forward the email to me.
Of course.
And I remember at the time replying the email saying, okay, this is a little bit awkward and strange for me, but thank you for your email. It was very nice. And we start, like, communicating by email, then chatting online, then telephone.
Oh, my God.
And now we are married. It's going to be 8 years after the summer in October with a lovely daughter.
What a great story. Well, I knew that you had relocated to Phoenix because of your husband, but I had not heard this story before, so that is a great story. The San Carlos Hotel.
Yep, that is always in my heart, that place.
Yes, of course. Well, given that you are so committed to clinical psychology and psychotherapy and your studies and your work, speaking and writing and, of course, getting further education, what were the pivotal experiences, Anna, that led you from that into coaching?
Because when I moved to the United States, I was still in the final part of my PhD. I was writing up the thesis. I finished the writing up of the thesis. So after I got married, that my focus and energy was in finishing the thesis. And after I had the PhD in my hands, I was, okay, now I have the PhD, so I'm going to try to get the license to be a clinical psychologist. And then I start to understand that the system in the United States was much more, I knew that was different. I knew that I had to do many other things, but I was, ooh, my gosh, what? And really had to press the pause button at the time and ask myself, what really do you want to do? Do you really want, is this your path or what do you want to do with your life? What's really a life transition? And I found coaching for, in a personal level, helping me to define really what I wanted. And then I realized that coaching was so much, the life coaching had so much in common with all, one of the areas that I always explored during my training in psychotherapy, that was personal development. Because for years and years, I worked in personal development for myself and in the training with other people too. That I was, gosh, this, but I read in the other day one thing that I think is a perfect thing in psychology to illustrate this. If we imagine a scale from minus 10 to plus 10, in clinical psychology, we are trained very well to work from for people that are in the minus, in the negative scale, to go to zero. Help people with mental illness to reach zero. But we don't have much training in taking people from the zero to 10.
Oh, I love this and this diagram. This is so easy to understand.
And is that what this coaching is about? Is people that are in the positive ratio, the positive part of the scale, they don't have a mental illness, they are okay, they have a function most of the time, even a nice life but by other people's standards, but they know that there is something missing there. And they really want to be more better. They really want to arrive to the full potential that they can arrive. And coaching is a great, is I think, the best tool for that.
Yeah.
And I realized that, and I said, oh, gosh, I will love, this has been so good personal for me. I can be this person helping.
Yes.
So I start to look around about how to do some training, and I read a book at the time. You must, you know, Pat Williams' book, Therapist as a Life Coach.
No, I'm not familiar with that. It sounds fabulous.
Pat Williams, he was also a psychologist in the United States. That
oh, Pat Williams,
became,
of course. Yeah, I know Pat Williams, yes, and I know a number of people that have worked with him. Yes, I had forgot. Yes, yes. Coming back to me now.
And and he has this book called Therapist as a Life Coach that is really aimed for people like me that were psychotherapists, clinical psychologists, and are thinking about, okay, what can we also do in our professional life? And it fits like a glove, that book, to me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I saw that, the Institute of Life Coaching Training, I like the program there, and I start to do the training there to become a coach.
Oh, I love this story. Well, and that's Patrick's Williams' training program, too, the Institute of Life Coaching, isn't it?
Exactly, the ILCP.
Yes, 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 yes. And so that's how you got plugged into the International Coach Federation, I would imagine.
Of course, because I was looking for something that had some recognition, because there are so many coaching things online. It's crazy. I was looking at you can get a certification in a weekend.
Right. But with all I was going to say, with all your credentials, it would be important, you know, to someone like you to, you know, be in a credentialed program, coach training program, and then as, you know, a member of the ICF. You would value that professional level of professionalism that you were used
and
to.
And was the ICF people in Europe, coaching is very popular, and I spoke with some colleagues that are already doing coaching here, and they spoke to me about the ICF. So I started to look in their web page, and I saw that the ILCT, the Institute of Life Coaching Training, was approved the training from the ICF. So I say, perfect. So I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't this great? This is great. Well, what would you say is your philosophy of coaching, Anna?
And that is a very interesting question because, of course, the school where we train always give us a birthmark in terms of the way that we coach. But the wonderful thing about coaching is that there are so many influences that we can absorb and make their own, our own. And another big influence for me, I never did formal training with them, but the book Coactive Coaching of the Coaches Training Institute, I think is a great book for the beginning coaching and for even a not-so-beginner coach, because it's a great synthesis, and I love what they say about their cornerstones, that, and in some way I think it's a great summary of my philosophy of coaching, that the client is naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. So we are working with a full person with all the resources and all the creativity that the person has there. The coaching addresses the client whole life. We cannot, even if we are working like a professional, what the person wants to be professionally or changing profession, we cannot. We always have to look in the whole. And I love the wheel of life that allow us to have the different areas of the people life and try to see things in this holistic, I think, is really one of the secrets why coaching works so well. And then the other things about the coaches, dances in the moment with the client, the flexibility that and the creativity that the coach has to have when we are working. And also that we have always remember ourselves that the agenda comes from the client. We can have wonderful processes, but it's the client that is driving the car. We are co-pilots at the most.
Yes. Oh, I love that. A wonderful reminder for me today. Well, we are simply the co-pilots, and it's always the client's agenda. Well, you certainly, you know, I believe my philosophy of life is that we're all magnets and we're all attracting great people, great opportunities, great ideas, or we're not. And the more in alignment we are with our own values and on the right path, and the great opportunities will just simply show up. So you certainly were on the right path because, you know, you found Patrick Williams and his institute, and you found Coactive Coaching and their resources that you were able to plug in. And I would imagine your coach that you had that coached you through the process was a pretty impactful person.
And all the self, and I'm still always saying that process. I think one of the things about we really have to walk our talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm constantly trying to see what, in terms of my own personal development, what can I do for improve myself.
Yeah.
So that is something that I think is a challenge, that to, a good challenge that we have as a coach, that we have to be in this continuous process of personal development too.
Yes. Now, say more about that. In addition to that continuous process of personal development, what are the other ways that you walk your talk as a coach?
It's a question that I love to do to other people, and now I have it on me. So in some way, how I walk my talk. For instance, I did some mentor coaching with one of my teachers in the Institute of Life Coaching Training, Lisa Kramer, and she's great. I did a nice program of personal development. She's a business coach, from ICF. Her name is Christine Kane, and mm-hmm. she has a very nice program of personal development that I really was very powerful for me. Self-reading, I really tried to, for instance, the last book that I finished reading was a book, her name is Barbara Fredrickson, if I'm not misspelling her name. The Positivity is the name of the book.
Uh-huh.
And I always say, my list of homework from that book is amazing, because she gives these, the book is great ideas and loads of tools for us also to apply what she's speaking in our personal life.
Mm.
How can we increase our positivity? How can we allow ourselves to flourishing more? And this thing that she speak about, what is the positivity ratio between, we cannot eliminate totally the negative things in our life, mm-hmm. but we can have that in check and increase the positivity. And they speak about this 3-to-1 ratio, like it's like the melting point of the point that the ice become water, like the tipping point. And in personal flourishing, this is the tipping point when the positivity starts to increase 3 times 1 in relation to the negativity, things start to flourishing and blooming.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we, and she gives loads of research that support this, and my academic side loves that kind of thing.
Of course. Well, now, tell us more. One of the things that I, when I first got to know you, you were speaking at our local ICF chapter, and you did a thing on breathing. And I've been experimenting with breathing, different practices on and off for 30 years, but you taught me something that no one had ever taught me before about the importance of breathing out first. So tell us about how you got into that. Did that Did you bring that experience over from your therapeutic experiences, or?
Yes. One of my trainings in psychotherapy was hypnosis. Mm. The reason that I came to Phoenix the first time in 98, if I'm not mistaken, I came to Phoenix because there is the Milton Erickson Foundation in Phoenix that they have these wonderful intensive trainings, usually in the summer, and also they run in the winter. This Milton Erickson, he was MD and also he also has a master in psychology, and he was incredible in the use of hypnosis for psychotherapy and for pain and other problems. Mm. And I had studied about him, and when I found this foundation, I came to the United States to do training with them. Uh-huh. He influenced many schools in psychotherapy, and even is one of the influencers. You know, the school in Canada that they are based in Canada, the Erickson College International, also part, they are recognized as a French institution by the ICF. They follow the principles of Milton Erickson.
Oh.
Not so much the question of the hypnosis, but the principle that because this, this idea that the person has the resources, that the unconscious is a source of resources of the potentialities of the person, this positive vision of the unconscious, he was one of the first in psychology to speak about that.
Oh.
So I'm very influenced by this approach, and in hypnosis, one of the things that we work when we do the inductions of the classical hypnosis and even in the naturalistic, a more open approach of hypnosis, we work with a little bit with the breathing and for relaxation and all that.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense.
So that was my first entry point to the breathing. Then personally, I start to do yoga. And yoga also works a lot, the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had, some years ago, I had a jaw operation, so they have to break my jaw to orthodontic work. And the post-operatory period was very painful, and I could not concentrate enough to do self-hypnosis, but just focus on my breath helped me. So I didn't have to take anything else than Tylenol to manage to go by the post-operatory time. And that was really powerful to me. I was, there is something here. So I started to do research about and really get loads of information about that.
Uh-huh. I was not aware that, but it makes perfect sense, but I was not aware that you could use it even for pain management.
Breathing is like is the 101 of many techniques. If you look in meditation, many times you focus on the breathing.
Right.
Focusing the breathe in and breathe out. So that is many techniques, many practice if the breathing is there. There are a couple of a small group of people that take the breathing and let's work and see what it takes us. But it's really part of everyone's life and of many practices that are commonly used.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how I arrived to breathing. And then I bought many books, many CDs, and one of the CDs that I think really is a CD that I recommend for everybody is one of Dr. Andrew Weil from Tucson, Arizona.
Yes,
this CD called Breathing is a double CD. One where he explains the importance of breath work, and then another one just with exercises of breathing exercises. And he was one of the people that emphasizes the importance of breathing out first. And I like to compare because people, when people feel a little bit anxious, they have a very shallow breathing in the top of the lungs. We call the kefir, is a very shallow breathing. And usually people say, okay, you have to breathe deeply. So inhale deeply. And person say, oh, but I can't. It's like if I have a nut in my throat that I cannot inhale. It's like it stops me. And that is really true, because if the lungs are full of residual air and we are just breathing in the top, we really cannot do a deep inhalation.
Right.
So the first thing we have to do is exhale as much as we can. And it's like the idea of emptying our cup first, and then we can fill our cup with fresh air.
Yeah.
So that is like a small secret, a small detail that makes all the difference.
It makes all the difference in the world. Trust me. Trust me. I've done it both ways, and it makes a huge difference. I've shared with you before, I was at a conference in Acapulco, and I went to an early morning session on the beach where we did meditation, and I ended up hyperventilating and was in a state of anxiety all day from hyperventilating. It was so not appropriate and not pretty. And it's simply because he taught us how to do a certain breathing thing, but he never mentioned that we should breathe out first. So like you're describing, I breathed in when my lungs were already filled with air, and so I got too much oxygen to the brain, I think. Well, I'm very interested in opening up the lines to callers, because I know there are people that are listening that are interested in asking specific questions about your coaching and especially the breathing and the relaxation work that you've done. So let me just announce that. Our guests, if you'd like to call in, the number is 424-243-9638. That number is 424-243-9638. And we would love for you to call in and ask Anna any questions at all that you have about your breathing practices or meditation practices or relaxation practices or just any coaching questions in general. We're going to continue on with our agenda. I'm anxious to hear, Anna, about some of your coaching successes. I know a big piece of our coaching code of ethics is to maintain confidentiality, but maybe without mentioning names or locations, you could share some of your coaching successes with us.
In general, I can say that most of my clients are women. It's not because I like to work with men too, but it happens that most of my clients, most of 75% of my followers in Facebook, because we can see in the fan page, we can see the percentage, 75% are women. And one of the things that is more common in my clients is that the expression, I feel like I'm spinning my wheels.
Yeah.
Or other people will tell, that was an expression that I was not familiar with, I'm paddling without a chain.
Yeah.
So, but if that same idea that is like you are in a treadmill, spending energy, but you feel that you are not going where you want to go.
Right.
And sometimes, most of the times, you cannot articulate, you know that you are not where you want to go, but you cannot articulate very well where you want to go either.
Right.
And this is the typical client that I help. The great thing about working with people in this situation is that very quickly with coaching, they get that sense of empowerment and clarity. They start to see things more clear. And they get clarity of knowing what they want, of managing to articulate what they want, really gives them the power for saying, okay, I can do this.
How wonderful. What a gift you give them.
And it's like, obviously, you are, in many ways, you are like the sounding board. You are just, in some way, reflecting, seeing sometimes what is in themselves that they cannot see at the moment, and
right,
you are helping
them
to look inside.
Right.
And then all the tools that we have and all the strategies that we have to. Okay, now you know where you are, you know where you want to go. So we have to coach for the gap to go from here to there. And
oh,
we have loads of great tools to help them in that process.
That's so great. And I want to hear more about those tools. But first, I'd like to take a caller. We have a caller that's holding. Caller from line 1129. We're going to let you go live and ask Anna her whatever questions you have for her today. So thanks for holding.
And
let's see.
I'm the one that is supposed to, I'm trying to unmute. Okay.
You got it?
I think so, yes.
Great.
Hi, Catherine.
Caller?
Hi.
Welcome.
This is Debbie Exner. Hi, Catherine. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Thank you so much for calling in and joining us today. One of our One of our former guests on Coach Conversations, Deborah Exner, the famous coach from Phoenix, Arizona, former president of Phoenix chapter of the ICF. What's your question for Anna today?
So, Anna, if someone wanted to find a coach, someone who's out there listening, what steps would you recommend that they try or take?
To find a coach, another very good question. And in the first thing that I recommend is that they go to a place like the ICF. And here I'm speaking because they are great coaches that are not in the ICF, but have gone by the ICF training of the International Coach Federation approved training. I think it's at least a warranty that the person has a basic good training in coaching and not just somebody that opened the door or opened a web page and put there, I'm a coach. Another thing, ask other people, and if you know somebody that has gone by coaching and they have great results, ask them, who was your coach? Who helped you to succeed? And really, I think that in some way, they have to take the approach like if you are going to buy a car. If there is personal preferences of styles, of colors, and you have to shop around, and when you find something that you feel comfortable with, and you could do even a test drive, and then, okay, then even leave, and you always can buy and then sell the car later. But you have to try possibly and shop around a little until to find the right match for yourself.
Oh. Great suggestions, Anna.
Yes, excellent input. Excellent input.
But just to keep the comparison with the cars, like when you buy a car, most people will go to check consumer report to see what the consumer report says about your the car that you are thinking about buying. I think the ICF, International Coach Federation, can work a little bit in that same point. Can be like a warranty that say, okay, these pass the minimal test at these levels.
Yes. Well, the professional credentials or training from an ICF certified training program. I totally agree. Totally agree. Well, thanks, Anna, for that great response. Deb, anything else you'd like to know about Anna at this point, or any questions about her coaching or the breathing work she's done?
Oh, I have one other question, and Anna, it sounds like you are, you know, very good at finding methods that you can use that help you to ground yourself. And I know, I think it's one of the most important things that we can do to help get us through the rough patches in life. I'm wondering, what ways do you use to help your clients cultivate a centering routine so that they can manage stress?
To manage stress, I really I try to give them many tools and almost presenting many alternatives and let them pick the ones that they feel that is the best fit for them. First of all, by working with them, I know, okay, this person probably this and this will work best. So I give them, but I like to offer them some options. And one of the things, for instance, that I do in most of with my coaching clients on the phone or in, even in person, is starting with a breathing exercise. So I introduce the breathing. It's one of the things that it's like for me, and in the phone I think it's really important. It's like a way to say, okay, now we are entering your space of coaching. And this is like a ritual to make that entry. So the person probably was running until that moment that picks the phone and phone us. And it's a way to say, okay, there is a break point here. This is your time. Let's use it as fully as we can. And these breathing exercises are going to help us center. And this breathing exercise, I do usually with a tape that both of us can be listening to the same tape and do it's 1 minute and a half breathing exercise. And then I give that audio to them and they can use that exercise whenever they feel that can help them. So that is an example of a tool that and that can help them with the stress management.
Okay, great. Thanks, Anna.
Yes, yes, this is outstanding. Because I don't know about you two, but I can get stressed 150 times an hour. It's just my nature, kind of a type A personality, recovering workaholic, just some bad history. And once I learned the breathing from Dr. Andrew Weil, I started doing that three or four times at a time, three or four of the breaths of his 4-7-8 breathing, and I try to do that at least three or four times a day.
Yeah, it's a great, that special technique, I think, is one of the more powerful and quick ways of relax.
Mm-hmm.
I really, it's one of my favorite breathing techniques, is 4-7-8 is called, and if people look on the web, Google 4-7-8 breathing, probably they will get Dr. Weil. He has an article where he explains this technique. And in the CD that I spoke about, it's one of the techniques of that CD.
So, great,
a great,
great
source.
But,
Catherine, when you were speaking, I was that reminds me of something about that I read some time ago about motivation, that people think that with motivation, with relaxation, with many other things, that they achieve that and it's done. And I think the best approach is that we have to see these things, relaxation, motivation, as like taking a shower. We get dirty all the time, and once in a while, once a day at least, we have to take a shower to get clean. We get lots of negativity, lots of things going on in our lives, lots of stress, anxiety, and we have to have our rituals to clean ourselves, to bring ourselves to press the pause button. And the breathing technique is a great way of doing it.
I love that. That's a great analogy. We take a shower every day. We need to do our breathing every day.
And another tool that I have to thank Debbie for introducing me to it, because it's being really very powerful for me nowadays, is the Empower 10.
Yeah.
That is really a great self-coaching tool, something that we can give to our clients during coaching and they can follow with it after working with us, that every day takes 5-10 minutes and really give us I'm doing that every day in the morning, and really, when I don't do it, my day is not as clear than when I do it.
Wow, that's a wonderful testimonial.
It
makes a big difference in your day, it sounds like. So, Deb, do you want to take a minute since you're on the call with us and tell a little bit about Empower 10? I think everybody would be interested to have a good day every day.
Sure. It's a tool that's based on positive and peak performance psychology, created by a couple of women out in Pennsylvania, Nancy Donahue and Michelle Chung. And it allows you to focus for 10 minutes each day on 6 habits. and the habits put you into a positive frame of mind, kind of like that shower that Anna was talking about. And from that place, you consider your two most important goals and what things you have to celebrate about those goals and what are your next steps. So it's a very powerful place to be looking from to get momentum around accomplishing your goals, and it's quite effective.
Yes. Yes, it sounds like it. The exposure I've had is fascinating, so I'm so glad to hear Anna, this personal testimonial. Well, Deb, thank you so much for joining us today. You're welcome to stay and listen to the rest of Anna's interview and plug in accordingly when you have a comment. We welcome that if you'd like to hang on the line with us. I'm interested, Anna, in hearing more about your ideal client. I heard that it was females and it was women that were stressed. If there are listeners out there that love what you have to say and love hearing your story and love the idea of the relaxation of breathing, how would they know if they're eligible to work with you?
The best way is if they go to my webpage, they can get a feeling about the way I work and the so the amazecoaching.com, I think, is my presentation card in many ways. And I have some free stuff there, and people, if they subscribe to my, I call them my insiders, amazing insiders group, because I send like an e-zine every week with a short tip, something that can be useful for everybody, personal development. And once in a while, I blog something. And that way they can start to know me and the way I work. And also my Facebook page, that is facebook.com, Amaze Coaching. And they always can contact me directly. But just for the person to have a more, that I love working with people that are, they have a capacity of self-awareness, the kind of people that likes to read self-help books, feels that there's something there that is missing, that they need a person to bounce ideas. I work very well with, I'm a visual person. I always keep visual metaphors, so I work very well with visual persons. And also, I work very well with people that they are self-aware, they really are motivated about personal development, but many times they get paralyzed by over-analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
You are that kind of person. Usually my best cases of success are this type of people.
I love that. And, of course, Deb and I are not like that, but we know lots of people that are just like that. So there's tons of potential clients out there that could benefit from your services, Anna. That's great. A wonderful description. Well, we just have a few more minutes, but I'd like to know more about your involvement with the International Coach Federation. I know that you came in through Patrick Williams Institute of Life Coaching, but tell us why you stay involved today and why you contribute at the degree that you contribute, because you contributed a pretty high degree as a speaker and as a resource for this project.
And honestly, it's been Odyssey. I start to go, one of my teachers in the Institute of Life Coaching training that I spoke before, Lisa Kramer, she belongs to the chapter in Philadelphia, and she said that it's been a transformative experience in her coaching career. So that made me, okay, let's see the chapter in Phoenix. There is a chapter, great, or when they meet, and I start to go to the meetings. And the group is great. We have to. Everybody is wonderful, and it's always a learning. Once a month is a learning afternoon that we have there. And even now I start to go to the saloons that are the other thing that runs every month at night. And I fall in love with the group. It's really learning a lot, meeting great people with loads of diversity, loads of backgrounds. It's one of the things that I enjoy of the of coach conversations, that it allows me to know the background of many of these people that I knew, And I was, wow, I didn't know this thing about this person. It's great to know this.
Right.
So it's really, and being involved in the Blog Talk Radio, this show program, and also in the website, is a way, one of my skills is their technical things. So it's my way of saying thank you to the chapter and trying to give my contribution to the chapter for all the things that the Phoenix chapter has given me.
Oh, well, on behalf of the Phoenix chapter, Anna, I would like to thank you because you've contributed in extraordinary ways. We would, as I said at the beginning of this radio show, we would not be where we are with our radio show if it weren't for you. We are so grateful for all the work that you do every month to get us prepared and to get the word out there. Yeah. We have just a few more minutes left. If there are any callers, listeners that would like to call in, our number is 424-243-9638. We would welcome your call and your question for Anna. Anna, let's just stay with ICF a little bit longer. What benefit would you see for someone who is thinking about becoming a coach? What would be useful? What could the ICF provide to that individual? Like one of your colleagues that maybe is coming from a therapeutic background, or someone that has an interest in being a coach but doesn't know a lot. Talk about what the ICF might be able to provide.
I think experience, resources. Really, I would say, if you are going to invest in coaching training, invest in the coaching training approved by the International Coach Federation. Makes all the sense. They are so, and inside, they are diversity. You are not stuck in, it's not a cookie mold that everybody follows. There are rules, regulations, and standards, but the schools have the creativity and the space to present different ways of doing the coaching. Mm-hmm. So you really can find the right fit for you, look around, but really, I think, and after the person starts to do the training, if there is a chapter in their geographical area, start to network and to be in that chapter, because you are going to meet people that are starting like you, other people that have lots of experience, and you are going to learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Very well stated. Very well stated. Excellent. Excellent points. Well, thanks, Anna. Well, just in closing of our radio show today, Anna, would you like to say anything in summary to describe yourself or your coaching business?
In summary, I would say it's been really a pleasure to have this opportunity of being in this show and speaking with you and everybody that is listening. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing and enjoying this experience.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I see we have one more caller, someone from the Phoenix area, number 3867. So we have time to take one more quick caller. So you're live.
Hi, this is Marnie Weber, the caregiving coach, also a member of the ICF chapter. Hi, Anna.
Hello.
Hello, Marnie. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
So it's good to hear your voices. I admit I've been kind of back and forth listening to your interesting interview, but there was this burning question I had throughout, and I wanted to catch it and see. I hope that this isn't redundant. I was curious about the culture, what you think bringing from your experiences over in Europe and what you find is a real value that you bring from a different culture, a different set of ways of thinking about, maybe different ways coaching is thought about, and how you coach clients and what you bring over here to us at the chapter. Is that a question that's been addressed perhaps? Or
no, it's an excellent question. Excellent.
Yeah. And it really, I would say, it's a very interesting question. How being originally from Europe influences. I don't know if I have a quick answer for that one, but I think One thing of my Portuguese culture, one of the good things about Portugal is that we have this spirit of trying to know new cultures, trying to meet new people. That was took us in the discoveries 500 years ago all over the world. And I think my grandfather was a fisherman, and I carry part of that in me. I really am very curious about other culture and very open about learning. And so it's something of my Portuguese culture that I bring to my coaching and to my life, and I think can be a great thing here. But there are other people, many people that have that, but that is something that is very precious for me.
Beautifully stated.
Thank you for that.
Yes. And thank you, Marnie, for joining us. Anything else you'd like to share or comment on or ask?
Well, maybe further from that, do you see, is there anything that you can, you know, share with us about the way coaching is perceived over there and learnings, best practices or things that you think are valuable for us to either know about that's going on or that it somehow serves us here?
I know much better the coaching in the United States, the coaching world in the United States than in Europe, but by what I'm realizing, they are very influenced also by the International Coach Federation and from the same principles. So that is common. Of course, that each country will have their, if they have already a school there that is working for long, that will be the stronger one. And I cannot say this specific case. Most of people that I met here are eager for more training. They look to the United States and Canada for the big names, and they also have good names and very important names in Europe. But it's a world community of the, I think with the International Coach Federation, that is something that is, the principles are the same. Then there are a simple important difference as to, is for instance, the supervision in Europe is seen differently than the mentoring in North America. And that can be a very important difference for the future of the International Coach Federation. But it's difficult to explain in a so short time.
Sure, but that's very useful. Excellent.
Indeed.
Thank you, Marnie, for your good questions. I have an important question that I should have asked early on, Anna. What time is it in Portugal right now? Is it getting to be about your dinner time, about 11 o'clock at night?
It's 11 o'clock, almost 3 to 11.
So. 3 minutes before 11 o'clock. And isn't that about when you all eat dinner?
That is in Spain. In Spain, you would be totally right. In Portugal, we have a little bit early. By 8 o'clock, we have our dinner here.
Okay. Well, we even more appreciate you being our guest today, Anna, because you did have to call in at 10 o'clock at night. And I'm sure you've been leading your seminars and workshops and facilitating and teaching over there all day, so we know that this has been a long day for you. So we're so grateful. And we're so grateful to our callers, Marnie Green and Deb Exner. Thank you. And before we wrap up, let me just let you know about our next 2 months' shows. We'll be together again on August 26th at 2 p.m. Pacific. Our guest will be Molly O'Neill, who is the incoming president of the Phoenix chapter of the International Coach Federation. So we'll not only get to hear about Molly's coaching philosophy and her experience, but we'll get to learn more about the local chapter activities over the next year. And then on September 23rd, I'm pleased to announce that our guest will be me, Catherine Halpin, and I'll be interviewed by Tamara Stark, a board member of the local chapter of ICF. So join us at 2 p.m. Pacific on the 23rd of September and on August 26th, both Fridays. We very much appreciate y'all calling in and listening and helping us spread the word about Coach Conversations. We're proud of our blog talk radio show, and we so appreciate our listeners. So thank you all so much, and we'll look forward to being with you again in about 1 month. Thanks so much.